The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
We will set up a special fund for the German armed forces, and I'm grateful to German Finance Minister Lindner for his support in this. The 2022 German budget will have 100 billion euros earmarked for this as a one-off, and this money will be used for investment in the German armed forces.
German Chancellor Olaf Scholz says that Russia's invasion of Ukraine has ushered in a, quote, new era in world history, noting that the events of the past week have raised serious questions over the ability of Western allies to deter, quote, warmongers like Vladimir Putin.
We must support Ukraine in this desperate situation, and we have done so to a large extent in recent weeks, months and years. But with the invasion of Ukraine, we have entered a new era.
He announced a one-off, quote, special fund of 100 billion euros to bolster Germany's defences. He went on to say that the country will invest more than 2% of its gross national product in annual military spending.
A significant story is breaking tonight regarding Germany and the supply of weapons to Ukraine.
Well, Germany, which, remember, was the country that didn't back sending lethal aid to Ukraine up until this conflict, has just announced that it's going to send 1,000 anti-tank missiles and 500 Stinger missiles, which are the sort of surface-to-air missiles that you can that a soldier can carry and launch from his shoulder. It's a huge, significant reversal of policy by a country that has until now resisted lethal aid for Ukraine.
Huge change in German foreign policy and, crucially, its defence spending.
Yeah, it's an incredible about turn, because the Germans have always taken the position that there's futility of force rather than utility of force. And the fact that Chancellor Olaf Scholz got a standing ovation yesterday for announcing a $100 million uplift, and the fact that they're actually giving 1,000 anti-tank weapons and 500 Stinger missiles, which are anti-aircraft missiles, is a profound shift.
A profound shift. That's right. The era of German pacifism has finally come to an end. This is an earth-shaking development. Politico called it nothing less than the most dramatic political shift in modern German history. Now, you obviously know, you that follow this program or read thetrumpet.com, or our subscribers to our magazine, you understand the huge prophetic significance here. Even if you understand history, you know that this is not good for the world when Germany goes from a pacifist nation to a militaristic one. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show through CRN Digital Talk Radio Channel 3 and that platform. They also replay it several times through the day on Channels 3 and 6. And to get to the exclusively offered video stream of this show, you've got to go to our website, thetrumpet.com. You can just go to thetrumpet.com or thetrumpet.com/live and get to the live stream page and also see all of the programs that are posted after the fact. So, he was right. He was right. Herbert Armstrong, in recent weeks on this show, we've referred to the chapter in this booklet on the communist infiltration of the Israelite nations, the United States, Britain, and so on. But there's also quite a lot in here about the return of German militarism. There's a lot in here about the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. If you don't have this book, by the way, the Holy Roman Empire in prophecy. Make sure that you call our operators today. They're standing by even at this moment. Call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. Either one of those books, He Was Right or The Holy Roman Empire in Prophecy, it will bring to your memory statements that Herbert Armstrong made decades ago, 50, 60, 70 years ago, and we see it happening today. How did he know? Listen to this clip from Mr. Armstrong, clip 15.
And some of us, my friends, know not only what we see when we're over there, but we know also what is prophesied. And we know what is prophesied to rise up in Europe. And we know which is the one and the only nation in Europe that is capable of dominating, and which is the economic and the industrial heart of all Europe, without which there could be no stability and strength. A human body cannot live without its heart. And the economic and the military body that is to rise up and to restore the Roman Empire, the thing that we least suspect here in the United States, it cannot rise up without its heart. And its heart is in Germany.
Its heart is in Germany. That's Herbert Armstrong from the 1960s. That's from his old radio show. You can see, or rather listen to him there, and hear the fact that he's younger. He lived till he was 93, of course, died in 1986. But there he was in his younger days. I guess he was still probably in his 60s at the time. But prophesying about the heart of Europe being Germany. Now, those of you just following the news in the last couple decades, you obviously understand and know that Germany is the unquestioned leader in Europe, economically for sure. But it also leads the way as far as the European Union goes. And until this past week, it had taken a pacifist approach, even to what's happening right on its doorstep in Ukraine. But suddenly, a sudden shift in Germany's thinking. Listen again to Mr. Armstrong, clip 14.
Europe will reunite, and they will form a new empire, a new nation, political, with one currency, one military force, one government.
That's from the 1980s. How did he know? When he said that, Europe was still divided by a literal wall. Germany hadn't even united yet. And there he was in the 1980s, telling the brethren in God's church, reminding them of his signature prophecy that Germany and all of Europe would unite as one empire. It's a 10-nation combine, so there's still some restructuring that's going to happen. But when you see Germany coming to the forefront militarily, just as I say, the history books alone. Do you think this is going to get much press? If there is any coverage in the United States, Britain, or Canada, if there is any coverage, we're cheering them on. Yeah, we got to get after Vladimir Putin. We've got to have someone to counter Vladimir Putin. And there's no strength, there's no power being projected from Washington, D.C. anymore. And so Germany is looking at the situation saying, hey, we need to make a sudden change. And they did. And they and the Bundestag, what did they do? You heard in that montage? They all stood up and gave him a standing ovation. Wow. This is from the New York Times. In an extraordinary address to a special session of Parliament on Sunday, Chancellor Olaf Scholz announced a significant increase in military spending, reversing the country's long-standing policy that has favored deterrence over conflict. I mean, just listen to some of the language as I take you through a few of these articles. Extraordinary, the New York Times says. Mr. Scholz announced a one-time increase of 100 billion euros for defense spending and a pledge to spend more than 2% of Germany's economic output annually on defense. Who can forget Donald Trump going over there saying, look, we need more than what you're contributing. It needs to be up to 2%. Now Germany itself is saying, yeah, it's going to be over 2%. So here's where we are. For the longest time, they drug their feet. They let the United States serve as the protective hedge for all of Europe. Those days are over. He also proposed enshrining that threshold in the country's constitution, ensuring that future governments follow it. So from here on out, the world will be witnessing a different Germany. From here on out, Germany's role in the world is going to be significantly different than what it has been in the past few decades. It says here the moves were part of an astonishing and sudden reversal to decades of German foreign policy that has come as European nations joined together to oppose Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Mr. Scholz described the Russian military action as having created a new reality that requires a clear response. Now, you know, the other angle to this story, leaving aside what Mr. Armstrong said back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, is what my father has said ever since the early 2000s when Putin came to power and then helped himself to Georgia, helped himself to Crimea, and through it all, the trumpet and the trumpet alone was telling you that this is going to cause Europe to unite more solidly. And this is going to awaken German militarism. That's right. We gave you that forecast years ago in so much detail. Listen, this is following Putin's election, if you can even call it that, from, what was it, 2003 or 2004. This is when Putin essentially became Russia's dictator. And my father's talking about some of that history in this program from January of 2004, clip 8.
Russia had an election in December 2003, and it moved President Vladimir Putin closer to being a dictator. Now, this news was not received well in Europe, and they have an intense fear of that election and what happened there because they remember what happened in World War II and how the Russians were quite cruel and harsh with them at that time. So those memories are still there. But Russia is a very close neighbor to Europe, and they have massive stockpiles of nuclear weapons, perhaps more than any country in this world. So that acute fear is certainly justified. No question about that.
Massive stockpiles of nuclear weapons, and Putin, he threatened to use them last week. You've got people actually, commentators that are actually wondering now if we're going to get into a nuclear war. So what does Germany do? Are they just going to sit back and watch all of this play out at their doorstep? No, instead we're seeing this sudden transformation. That's the words of some articles that are covering this subject. It's not getting nearly enough headlines. Not like it should be. Over here, it's amazing how myopic the view is of the typical Western journalist here in the United States. Putin bad, Putin bad. And Donald Trump facilitated it all. Donald Trump cleared the way. And how dare Donald Trump say that Putin is smart? He's on Putin's side. He must be a Russian agent still. That's all you get. That's what passes for news. And meanwhile, in an extraordinary about face, Germany goes from being a pacifist nation to militaristic. The return of German militarism. Do you think that's significant? Is this a significant storyline? He was right. He was right. And we've been right too, with respect to Crimea, with respect to Putin as the dictator, the Prince of Rosh, as I told you about last week. Here again is my father from 2004. This is clip 9.
But when I read of this election and Europe's fear of it, it just caused a prophecy to flash into my mind and made me realize that a great prophecy of the Bible is beginning even now to be fulfilled. Europe is troubled. This is an intense fear, even here, of a great power in the northeast. Now, all you have to do is look northeast of Europe. But this is a prophecy about two world powers that are going to clash in this end time. One of them is Europe, and the other one is northeast of Europe. So how is this going to affect Europe? Well, Europe sees that happening, and it's going to hasten the uniting of Europe, and they're also going to get a strong leader. But Europe has to unite and become stronger so that they can fulfill their part of Daniel 11, verse 44. And this election in Russia is going to bring about some real changes in Europe. It's going to at least hasten the process along.
That's from 2004. And then in the Trumpet Art or the Trumpet magazine, just around that same time, he wrote, "The Russian election is triggering a fear that will hasten the uniting of the European Union. The Russian election will cause Germany and other European nations to want a stronger leader." See, they see when they see the Russian bear on the march, when they see a strong leader, a strong man leading the Russian bear, then they're going to want a strong man of their own. They're going to want to increase military spending. And they're all in agreement. The liberal parties, the conservative parties, standing ovation. More than 2%. Yeah, let's get this German military machine in motion. We have to. We have to, because look at what Vladimir Putin's doing. And, of course, the other part of this message, or the other part of this these developments, is that they see a weak and feckless United States of America. The New York Times, the article I quoted at the start, it says, "Over the past 24 hours, Germany's foreign and military policy have undergone startling changes." Did you hear this? In the past 24 hours, startling changes in what? Germany's foreign and military policy. Uh-oh. It says here, "The government announced on Saturday that it would send 1,000 shoulder-launched anti-tank rockets and 500 surface-to-air Stinger missiles to Ukraine, pushing aside a long-held government policy not to send weapons to conflict zones. Germany also announced that it had allowed the Dutch government to send Ukraine 400 German-made anti-tank weapons and the Estonian government to send 9 Cold War-era howitzers. Transfers that it had blocked for months." For months it blocked this sort of thing. Now the gate is wide open. Now the German military is on the march. It says here, "The German government also said it would work with allies to cut off key Russian banks from the money transfer network known as SWIFT." So here's Germany taking some action. Here's Germany now. This is, last week. Even last week, we wouldn't have been saying any of this. I mean, we know what prophecy says. We knew this was coming. But what a sudden and dramatic transformation. It says, "Just weeks ago, the German government was pilloried for what critics called its tepid response to Russia's troop buildup after it announced that it would send Ukraine 5,000 helmets and a field hospital to help the country defend itself." I mean, that's like Barack Obama sending blankets in 2014. So Germany went for a Barack Obama like, "Hey, send a few helmets and then we'll mind our own business," to, "We are sending anti-tank missiles. We are opening the way for military armaments to flow through our nation into Ukraine. We are adding 100 billion euros to our defense spending. We're going to up it annually to 2% over, in fact." Wow. This is significant. Longtime viewers of the World Tomorrow program and the Key of David, my father's program since 1993, you know the significance of these developments. Here they've worked, and again, Daniel 2 says it's iron and miry clay, so it's been a struggle to bring these nations together politically. But there is a European Union. There is a common currency with, 15 or 16 of the nations. And to this point, NATO, a United States-led NATO, has been the sort of defense mechanism, which means that the United States served as the European policeman. But those days are over. And if the media in the United States can get their minds off of Trump for 1 second, maybe a few of them might say, well, hang on a second. Do we really want a more militaristic Germany right at the heart of Europe? That's the beating heart of that Holy Roman Empire, that seventh and final resurrection, as you heard from Mr. Armstrong himself. And now, finally, that last domino that we've been waiting to fall, military, Europe going it alone, Europe providing its own militaristic movement and defense. Of course, they're going to go on the offense, aren't they? Of course they are. That's been the history. It says here, this is back to the New York Times piece, Mr. Scholz also sharpened his rhetoric against Vladimir Putin, who said on Sunday his cold-bloodedly launched war of aggression for one single reason: the freedom of Ukrainians challenges his own oppressive regime. Well, it sounds pretty good. It sounds pretty good because, well, if Vladimir Putin is Satan incarnate, and certainly Satan's working on that man for sure, Satan's working through that man. Satan's behind all of this. We're about to see some spectacular clashes prophesied in your Bible. The kings of the East and the strength, and Russia coming together with China. Got another booklet that goes by that name, Russia and China in Prophecy. And here, you may have seen the report of, I think it was the New York Times as well, the story about how the United States took all of this intelligence to China in the hope that China could dissuade from Putin's military adventurism. We give China this intelligence, if you can believe it, and China just passes it on to Putin. This is what the United States knows. I mean, how stupid could we possibly be? If it's up, it's down. If it's right, it's wrong. Truly is Orwellian. You know, and another thing that's pretty amazing about all of this, and Donald Trump brought this out at CPAC over the weekend, is that if he's still in power, if he's still in office, none of this is happening. Putin is not on the march in Ukraine, and Germany isn't shifting on a dime with its foreign policy and its military policy. Listen to this from Donald Trump over the weekend, clip one.
Under Bush, Russia invaded Georgia. Under Obama, Russia took Crimea. Under Biden, Russia invaded Ukraine. I stand as the only president of the 21st century on whose watch Russia did not invade another country.
He's completely right. And of course, the election was stolen. Satan is the god of this world. He's confined to this earth. Donald Trump is temporarily removed. Russia goes right on the march as if on cue. Just a year into the fake president's administration, the Russian bear on the march. And now, just this weekend, Germany, a sudden and dramatic shift in German thinking, a sudden and dramatic transformation in Germany's militaristic spirit. Really, it never did go away. It just went underground, as Revelation 17 says. That military machine, that military might. How fast do you think Germany is going to get this plan in motion? And furthermore, just to add another wrinkle to this, if Russia is seeing these headlines coming out of Germany, how much faster? I know there's the talks between Zelensky and Putin's people going on even as we speak. And Zelensky, by the way, basically saying we want into the European Union. It's just like we read to you last week from the Trumpet magazine in those 2004, 5, 6 years. The boundaries are being drawn. We'd do well to pull out a map and just look at how close Ukraine pushes right up to those states in Eastern Europe. The boundary lines are being drawn. Yeah, there's some handshake deals going on behind closed doors. We know this from history as well. But these two have been bitter enemies, Russia and Germany, I mean. And as my father brought out in that 2004 clip, they remember this. They remember this. So yeah, there's the secret deals. We'll carve up this nation. We'll carve up that one. We'll get the gas supply or the fuel supply here or there under the covers. But they know, they both know they can't trust each other in the end. And so here comes the German military machine. Prophesied in your Bible, Germany announcing to the whole world yesterday, over the weekend, we're taking on a new role. We're taking on a new militaristic role on the global stage. And the whole of the Bundestag, they get up and they cheer. They're clapping, standing ovation. And you know what's more? Western nations, if they're even paying any attention to it at all, are cheering as well. Can you believe this? They are cheering. He was right. You're not going to get this forecast anywhere else except right here, except right at thetrumpet.com, except right at the Trumpet magazine, or all these booklets I just mentioned. Listen again to Herbert Armstrong from decades ago, clip 12.
Now, one of the great things that is urging Europe on, and perhaps the greatest thing that will cause them to hurry and get together on this, is their fear of what's going on in the Kremlin and the Soviet Union. And Andropov is frightening them, and that is going to rush them. They are losing confidence in the United States as having a military umbrella over them to protect them. And they want their own military force to protect themselves. That's the way they feel over there. Now, that is a chief incentive to unite them, and that is taking place.
Now, that's from the 1980s. You heard him there mention the Soviet Union. So he's giving you this forecast based on Bible prophecy before the Soviet Union just completely collapsed into nothingness almost all through the 90s. And then here comes a man named Vladimir Putin in 2003. And his stated objective is to rebuild the Union, to rebuild the empire. And what does Germany and the rest of Europe think about that? There's your he was right forecast from the 1980s of all things. Here's another one, clip 13.
There is going to be a resurrection of that old Roman Empire. Not very many people believe it, because people have gotten completely beyond really believing that the Bible means what it says. You're going to have to live and see it, and you're going to have to know that God was speaking when he said this thing is coming.
That's a younger Herbert Armstrong from back in the 1960s. During that same time period, this went out with the correspondence course, the hundreds of thousands of students enrolled in. It says Germany was responsible for both world wars. This might be a paraphrase. The letter explains, and in 1943, when Germany's top generals, scientists, industrialists, and bankers realized they were about to lose the Second World War, secret plans for a third round of war began in earnest. Secret plans. It had to be under the cover of darkness. They had to be perceived as a pacifist nation for decades. That all changed over the weekend. They're now out of the closet, Germany. And Western nations are applauding it. Isaiah 10, verse 5, it says, O Assyrian, the rod of my anger and the staff in their hand is my indignation. God is going to use Assyria. God is going to use Germany. God's going to use the Holy Roman Empire, the so-called Holy Roman Empire, to correct our nations because of our many sins. Isaiah 1, just laden with sin and iniquity, transgressions of all kinds in the U.S. and Britain in prophecy, Mr. Armstrong wrote, but the all-important master key has been found. Well, he talks about the key to unlocking all of prophecy, knowing our identity. Who are the Israelite nations of today? Who is Ephraim and Manasseh? He says further, the Assyrians, before 604 BC, left their land north of Babylon and migrated northwest through the lands that are now Georgia and Ukraine, Poland, and into the land that is called Germany today. Today, the descendants of those Assyrians are known to us as the German people. So here is Isaiah 10 talking about the Assyrian rod, the rod that God's going to use to spank our nations, to correct our nations. Verse 6 continues, and I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. See, God sends this rod of anger to correct a hypocritical people. God's the one actually responsible for this. I mean, he's giving the devil, obviously, some latitude here as the devil just whips up all this white-hot rage. Verse 7, it says, howbeit, he means not so, neither does his heart think so, but in his heart to destroy. It's in his heart to destroy and to cut off nations, not a few. So in their heart, I mean, they really see themselves as, well, just trying to maintain peace. We're typically just pacifist. Typically, we don't want to mingle or interfere in skirmishes. But when the mind change happens and they come out of the closet, we do well to hit the history books. You can look at Habakkuk 1, verses 6 and 11. Over there, it says God will raise up the Chaldeans. And again, it speaks of this change of mind, this change of heart that just happens suddenly on a dime. Boy, what a sudden, what was the word the New York Times used? An extraordinary development. Listen again to Herbert Armstrong from years ago, clip 16.
You watch it happen, my friends. Now that's prophecy. That is the word of God. We didn't gain anything by making an ally out of Russia, now did we? Just look into past history. You see if we're going to gain anything by trying to build up the United States of Europe. You see if we're not building a Frankenstein that's going to turn on us and destroy us. Most of you will live to see it. You remember that I told you and that I spoke by the authority of Jesus Christ.
Well, he didn't live to see it, but a lot of us certainly will. It's not that far away. This is from Bloomberg, Andrews Kluth. He writes, if you had any sense of history and found yourself near the German Bundestag in Berlin on Sunday, you could have heard the sound of an explosion. It wasn't a physical one, like the blasts of the bombs Russian President Vladimir Putin is lobbing at the brave people of Ukraine. It was instead the detonation of two or more decades of naive, misguided, and often hypocritical foreign and defense policy. So here's another journalist that really sees this as a pretty good development. I mean, we need a strong Germany. We need someone to stand up to Putin. But at least he recognizes a bomb has been detonated. That's right. Says here, in a special session of Parliament, Chancellor Olaf Scholz dispatched nearly every dogma Germans, notably including his own party, the Social Democrats. That's what's astounding here. This is not even the prophesied strongman. He's leading the Social Democrats of all parties, and he stands up and he says, we're going to put a lot into the military from this point forward. I'm even going to try to enshrine it into the Constitution. And everyone stands and applauds, because we think this is going to make the world a safer place. Wow. It says here, have stubbornly clung to for a generation to the chagrin of their allies in NATO and the European Union. It says, and it wasn't just the chancellor. After him, one speaker after another rose to find similarly clear and moving words from the center-left Greens and the center-right Free Democrats in Scholz's coalition to the Christian Democrats in opposition. Let the world take note. Let the world take note owing to Putin's naked aggression, Germany has changed almost overnight. Those are not my words. That's Bloomberg. But who told you this first? Who told you even the rise of Putin would lead to this? That would be the Trumpet magazine. That would be my father from almost 20 years ago. Mr. Armstrong was telling you about even the bigger picture of prophecy 40, 50, and 60 years ago. Now these prophecies are unfolding. It says here, this is going back to the Bloomberg piece, even more surprisingly, Scholz and his cabinet announced a pivot in defense policy overall. For years, the country's allies have berated Germany for skimping on its army to the point where it could barely defend its own territory or be much use to allies in a pinch. Now the government wants to set up a special fund of 100 billion euros to re-equip the military. That's 100 billion in just 1 year. And then you know about the 2% spending annually. Now, at the Trumpet, in our articles, at the website, our programs, we've been keeping you or helping you to prepare for this. We've talked about the think tanks that say, hey, Germany's got to spend more on defense. We've quoted from people in Parliament or in the Bundestag that say, hey, you know, we need to step up and be more assertive. We need to have a stronger foreign policy. We've told you all these statements, even as the actual facts on the ground, nothing was really moving along these lines. Now it is. Now it is. Now it's happening. And it's got the hearty endorsement of most Western nations, probably all of them. And they're all unified there in the Bundestag. This is a Peter Zeihan tweet. He said, not only does this put Europe on the road to general militarization, this guarantees the Russians will not stop. They must secure their goals in Ukraine and Romania and Estonia and Latvia and Lithuania and Poland before Europe can fully rouse itself. Do we see where this is leading? And here's the United States, just with its head buried firmly in the sand. Same with the other Israelite nations. Oh, we know who they are in prophecy. We know where Ephraim and Manasseh are today. We know what's prophesied in Isaiah 1 and Isaiah 3 and elsewhere. But look at what's happening in Europe. This puts Europe, says Zeihan, on the road to general militarization. And listen, Putin sees that they're now on this road. And so he's going to have to hurry. So what does this tell you about the pace of prophetic events? This Bloomberg piece, returning to that, it says, but the speakers this Sunday in the Bundestag, too often a venue for windbags venting platitudes, were even clearer than that. In effect, they offered mea culpas for having got wrong many big things for a long, long time. We're sorry, they're telling the world. We're sorry we haven't been more militaristic. And the world is saying, hey, we accept your apology. We hope it goes really well, this project of militarizing the European Union, headed by Germany, the beating heart. It says here a second point of naivete the speakers confessed is that faux pacifism that's pervaded German thinking on world affairs for many decades, but especially since the fall of the Berlin Wall. Armed conflict in this narrative was banished from the continent, with unfortunate exceptions in the Balkans. We've got a book on that, by the way, too. The German strategy at play there, that militaristic spirit that didn't show itself as overtly as it is now. But they got what they wanted out of the Balkans War. Richard, our correspondent in the UK, he said, surely what happened over the weekend is as momentous, if not more so, than what played out in the Balkans with respect to German dominance on the continent. It says here, bunk, bunk, and bunk. Scholz and other orators acknowledged in so many words, the way to stop a bully like Putin is with strength. Only then do talks make sense. That used to be an un-German martial notion. it could now become the new mainstream. What is it? That the way to stop a bully is with strength. Wow, that's Germany. It says finally, Scholz, who took office only in December, at first seemed an unlikely leader for a return to a more muscular and traditional foreign policy that lives up to the expectations of allies. He's usually not a man to cause explosions, but that was before the real blasts in the East, before the heroism of Zelensky and the villainy of a Putin. Look at how much has changed dramatically and suddenly in just a matter of weeks. In just a matter of moments, prophetically speaking, it's like the past two or three weeks, we've squeezed two or three decades of earth-shaking events into these few weeks. Over at Politico, how Putin made the EU great again. How's that for a headline? This is really bringing the European nations closer together as well. It's not just causing this transformation in German thinking. It's bringing those nations together. And of course, you know, there are 10 of them outlined in Revelation 17 and verse 12. Politico says, Vladimir Putin just achieved the impossible, genuine European unity. Can you believe this? Is that significant prophetically? Who told you about this in the 1940s and 50s? Vladimir Putin achieving the impossible? He's bringing Europe together. And of course, the United States is being shut out at the same time. It says here, the Russian president's unprovoked invasion of Ukraine has united Europe and the transatlantic sphere like nothing since the fall of the Berlin Wall, as even his erstwhile allies on the continent abandoned him over the weekend. From Sofia to Stockholm, Europe's internal divisions over how to react to Putin's aggression have melted away in recent days. As the historic dimensions of this invasion, the greatest challenge to the West's security architecture in decades, sank in. How remarkable it is to see this play out exactly as your Bible has prophesied. And what a faith builder it is, just knowing that God's prophecies are sure, as the Apostle Peter said. We talked about that sure word of Bible prophecy just last week. I'll take you back to a Trumpet article. This is from 2008. The title, Russia's Attack Signals a Dangerous New Era. The Trumpet magazine. Tomorrow's news today. You know, I turned on MSNBC over the weekend. I don't generally watch news. I got a really good comment from one of our viewers. He too experienced the same thing. He doesn't watch the mainstream news unless there's a big, you know, outbreak or a global conflict of some sort. So you switch on the news at MSNBC over the weekend just to get an update on what's happening there around Kiev. And what do I hear? I hear that Trayvon Martin would have been 27 years old this month had he not tried to murder George Zimmerman. Now, she didn't bring that out. I'll just add that as an aside. But the world is exploding. And how worthless our media, our news gatherers are. Except for this show, we've got the best. 27 years old for this thug that was trying to kill somebody. And we've got to be reminded of this because America's racist. It's into the DNA. These people are blind. They're blind to what's happening. They don't see the coming explosion. That's why the Bible speaks of it as coming as a thief in the night. It's going to come at a sudden, unexpected time for most in the world, but not for Trumpet readers. Certainly not. We'll know when it's near, even at the door. Russia attack signals a dangerous new era. This is my father writing in 2008. He says, Will the Georgia strike actually spark European unification? Will a crisis occur over Ukraine? Tomorrow's news today. like my brother-in-law said about the MSNBC over the weekend. What do you get there? You get yesterday's news today. And it's not even really news. It's just propaganda. It's different with the trumpet. My father says, watch Europe to see how it responds to these dramatic developments in Asia. That was the trumpet forecast in 2008. Further on, he says, you can already see the fulfillment of this prophecy occurring in embryo today, talking about Daniel 2 and I think verse 44. Tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. That's Daniel 11, actually. Daniel 11 and verse 40. Go through and read that, study that. You can get to a fair bit of that in this booklet, The Holy Roman Empire in Prophecy. I'll just have to leave you to look into that on your own time. But my father says here, you know, the European power is disturbed. Tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Trouble the European empire. Trouble the heart, the beating heart of Europe. That is Germany. And my father says, you can already see the fulfillment of this prophecy occurring in embryo today. Europe is deeply troubled by developments in Russia and China. Yes, they're deeply troubled. Now listen to what my father said in 2014. This is from the Key of David program, and it's following Putin's attack on Crimea. Happened there right at the end of the Obama years. Clip 10.
But look, Europe sees finally that they have to do all this themselves. They have to protect themselves. And so they're going to really reduce the number of nations in that Holy Roman Empire so they can have a strong man really use the power and the clout of Europe to take on Vladimir Putin and all of those Eastern kings, as they're called in the Bible, which includes China.
Putin is causing Europe to be reshaped, reformed. Putin is bringing on this transformation in German thinking. This is what we said in 2004, in 2008, in 2014. This is from an article in 2014. Europe's dreadful fear of Vladimir Putin, its next door neighbor, is going to help shape and form the Holy Roman Empire rather suddenly. It'll happen. I know there's the naysayers, there's the ones that say, well, if Mr. Armstrong was talking about this in the 1980s or even in the 1960s, why didn't it happen sooner? They're just like the scoffers that Peter spoke of. Oh, all these unfolding events or prophecies, as you call them. I mean, it's been going on like this for thousands and thousands of years. You better wake up. Satan is subtle. Satan is the prince of the power of the air, and he wants you to think there's no real significance here. It's always been like this, has it? Even history, as I say, informs you. This is from 2014 as well. So Vladimir Putin is building something there, causing something that he's probably not really aware of that much. He doesn't even know what's playing out. He doesn't see how this is leading to World War III. He doesn't see that at all. He just sees, I've got to mark my territory. We can't have the Ukraine and the European Union, or certainly not part of NATO. So the boundary lines need to be drawn. I've got to get what I need out of this, whether it's the land bridge at the south, from the Donbass over to Crimea, whatever. He's out to secure his interests. And so, surprise, surprise, here comes Germany saying, hey, we better draw a line in the sands ourselves. And they're doing it. And what happened? What happened with that in World War II? If only our people would wake up. If only God's people would wake up, those Laodiceans that just drifted away from the truth. The great falling away, 2 Thessalonians 2. They heard about all these prophecies, in some cases, for decades. And now here it is happening. Where are they? Why won't they let these prophecies jolt them into action? Why won't they let these prophecies motivate them to get back right with God? To turn to God so that we don't need this rod of correction. To turn to God in repentance and faith. says here, now this one act by Putin is going to have a big impact. So watch Europe. Watch Europe now and see how they respond to this, because world events are moving just like a flash of lightning these days. It's moving fast. You get the new German premier coming in, even with his political background, you wouldn't think he'd give an announcement like he did over the weekend. And then, of course, again, just like chess pieces on a board, Donald Trump's removed for a bit. Vladimir Putin goes on the march in Ukraine. Germany announces we're going to become militaristic. The years, the decades of pacifism, they're over. Here again is what my father said back in 2014 when Putin was marching on Crimea, clip 11.
I just want to show you again and emphasize this, the impact that Russia's attack on Crimea is having, especially in Europe and on the Europeans. The reaction to this crisis is something you need to watch, because it is shaping and molding the eastern leg of the Holy Roman Empire, particularly that leg, and somewhat the other one as well. But it's making them move urgently to tie together this Holy Roman Empire that we've been prophesying about for oh so many years.
For many, many years, it was like the signature prophecy for Herbert Armstrong. You could take that commentary right there and play it today, and it would be just as applicable now as it was in 2014. Watch the reaction. Don't get caught up in all the things that the news cycles, all the narratives that the media here in the United States and elsewhere, what they want for you to take away from all of this. Putin is evil, and oh, so is Donald Trump. Watch Germany's reaction. Watch Europe's reaction to this Russian bear being on the march. And that's what made what happened over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, so especially significant. What a change. The armaments aren't there yet, but it'll happen fast. We're about to see some blitzkrieg production lines to get Germany the military that it now knows it must have to confront Vladimir Putin, to confront the United States, to confront Britain. That's who they'll end up going after first. The nations of Israel, sin-laden nations of Israel, sick nations of Israel, spoiled little children in Israel, drunk on materialism and sin, and most people just sitting back with their gadgets, assuming that the world's always going to be a fairly safe place. It's not safe for the Ukrainians right now. And those conflicts, they're about to explode into our nations as well. Revelation 17 and verse 12 speaks of 10 horns and 10 kings that receive power for an hour with the beast power, to come out of the heart of Europe. They all have, as verse 13 goes on to say, one mind. They operate in sync for a short time, and it's because of that beating heart of Europe, the beating heart that is Germany. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show with some feedback, you can email us at td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.